Yep.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayana Namaskri Janaram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Yayam Mudirayat Nasta Praishve Badrishu Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Sloke Bhakti Bhavati Naistaki Savai Pungshang Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Raduksaye Ahaitaki Apratiyata Yatmas Prasidati. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 17, Text 22 and 23. Yasyadyasit guna vigraho mahan Vijnana dishnyo bhagavan adhyakila Yat sambhavo am tri vritta swati jasa Vaikari kang tamasam aindrayam srije Eti vayam yasya vase mahatmana. Oh, it's only the first verse is there. Okay. Do it again. Yas yat yasit guna vigraho mahan. Vijnana dishnyo bhagavan adhyakila. Yat sambhavo hang tri vritta swate jasa. Vaikarikam tamasam aindriyam srije Yasyadyasit guna vigraho maham Vijnana dishnyo bhagavan adhyakila Yatsam bhavo hamtri brita swate jasa Vaikarikam tamasam aindriyam srije Yasyadyasit guna vigraho maham Vijnana dishnyo bhagavan adhyakila Yat sambhavam tri vritta svati jasa Vaikarikam tamasam aindriyam sridhe Yasyat yasit guna vigraho maham Vijnana dishnyo bhagavan adhyakila Yat sambhavam tri vritta svati jasa Vaikarikam tamasam aindriya sriye Yasyat yasit guna vigraho maham Vijnana dishnyo bhagavan adhyakila Yat sambhavo hang tri vritta svati jasa
Vaikarikam tamasam aindriyam sridhye. Yasyad yasit guna vigrahoma. Yatsambhavoham tribhrita svati jasa. Vaikarikam tamasam aindriyam sridhye. Yasya yasit guna vigraho mahan. Vijnana disnyo bhagavan ajakila. Yatsambhavoham tribhrita svati jasa. Vaikarikam tamasam aindriyam sridhye. Yasya dhyasit guna vigraho mahan. Vijnana disnyo bhagavan ajakila. Yatsambhavam tribhrita svati jasa. Vaikarikam tamasam aindriyam sridhye. Iti vayam yasya vase mahatmana stita sakunta eva sutra yantrita. Mahannaham vaikrita tamasendriya. Shridhyama sarveyat anugrahat idam. Yasya, from whom? Adya, the beginning. Asit, there was. Guna vigraha, the inclination of the mature qualities. Mahan, the total material energy. Vijnana, of full knowledge. Dishnya, the reservoir. Bhagavan, the most powerful. Adya, Lord Brahma. Kila, certainly. Yat, from whom? Sambhava, born. Aham, I. Tribhrita, having three varieties according to the three modes of nature. Svatejasa, by my material strength. Vaikarikam, all the demigods. Tamasam, material elements. Ayindriyam, the senses. Shriji, I create. Ete, all. Ete, all of this. Vayam, we. Yasya, of whom? Vase, under the control. Mahatmana, great personalities. Stita, situated. Sakunta, vultures. Iva, like. Sutra jantrita, bound by rope. Mahan, the Mahatattva. Aham, I. Vaikrita, the demigods. Tamasa, the five material elements. Indriya, senses. Shrijama, we create. Sarve, all of us. Yat, of whom? Anugrahat, by the mercy. Idam, this mature world. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. From that Supreme Personality of Godhead appears Lord Brahma,
whose body is made from the total material energy. The reservoir of intelligence predominated by the passionate mode of material nature. From Lord Brahma, I myself am born as a representation of false ego, known as Rudra. By my own power, I create all the other demigods, the five elements and the senses. Therefore, I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is greater than any of us, and under whose control are situated all the demigods, material elements and senses, and even Lord Brahma and myself, like birds bound by a rope. Only by the Lord's grace can we create, maintain and annihilate the material world. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Being. You can repeat. From that Supreme Personality of Godhead, appears Lord Brahma, whose body is made from the total material energy, the reservoir of intelligence, predominated by the passionate mode of material nature. From Lord Brahma, I myself am born as a representation of false ego, known as Rudra. By my own power, I create all the other demigods, the five elements and the senses. Therefore, I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is greater than any of us, and under whose control I situated all the demigods, material elements and senses, and even Lord Brahma and I myself, like birds bound by a rope. Only by the Lord's grace can we create, maintain and annihilate the material world. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Being. Purport. A summary of creation is given in this verse. From Sankarshan, Mahavishnu expands. And from Mahavishnu, Gaurakshaya Vishnu expands. Lord Brahma, who was born of Gaurakshaya Vishnu, father of Lord Shiva, from whom all the other demigods gradually evolve. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu are incarnations of the different material qualities. Lord Vishnu is actually above all these material qualities, but he accepts control of Sattva-gun, the mode of goodness, to maintain the universe. Lord Brahma is born from the Mahatattva. Brahma creates the entire universe, Lord Vishnu maintains it, and Lord Shiva annihilates it. The Supreme Personality of Godhead controls all the most important demigods, especially Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, exactly as the owner of a bird controls it by binding it with ropes. Sometimes vultures are controlled in this way. Am Vishnu Praya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutle Srimata Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamane Namaste Sarasvati Deva Gauravani Parcharine Nivase Shunyavari Parsatya Dishitarine Om Magyana Timanandasya Garandhyana Slakaya Chakchuram Ritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Nama Shri Rupa Shri Sandatan Bhataraganat Shri Diva Gopala Bhata Dasaraganat Satku Swami Ki Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Sri Vas Adi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Ki Sri Nisringa Jai Nisringa Jai Jai Narasingha Deva Paraladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringam Om Namo Bhagavate Narasingha Namaste Jaste Deshe Ravi Ravi Abhava Bradyanaka Bradya Damsta Karmashyam Randhya Randhya Tamo Grasa Grasa Om Swaha Abhyam Abhyam Admini Buyashishta Om Kshram Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So I just falling in the middle of the story. So I don't know what happened before this, but when I read this this purport, one statement of Prabhupada came into my mind, that Prabhupada said from in the Bible, it said that God creates the world, yeah, and that God is great. But there is no mentioning of actually scientifically of how great is God. So there's a little information. But in the Vedic literatures, we can find detailed information of actually of the greatness of God, and also on a scientific basis, and not just by imagination or by words, but there's really scientifically explained from the beginning till the end, the whole way of how material energy is created, and especially why it is created. Also, because one thing is, it's very interesting to know how everything is fixed in each other and how everything is working. But even Lord Krishna said, actually, it is not necessary to know that everything in detail. He said, because that's been the spark of my splendor. It's just a spark. I create this whole material universes. Hundreds and millions of universes God creates. And it's just a spark of his splendor. So he said, Arjuna, you don't have to know everything in detail. You only have to understand actually that I am the source of everything and I am the supreme controller. So if you understand this, that'd be sufficient. If you have complete faith in that I am the supreme Lord, then that is sufficient. In the same way that many of us, we don't know how a computer is exactly, you know, working inside. Yeah? But if we know how to handle the computer, that's sufficient. We don't know, have to know everything, how everything inside is created. Yeah? Even also with a car. Yeah? And many of us, we don't know how the car is, the inside, how it is fixed, you know, how everything is functioning. But if we know how to drive the car, how to steer, how to put them in different gears, how to brake. So that would be sufficient. So this is what the Lord Krishna says. So we have to have an overall view. But of course, for the ones who are very intelligent, you know, they want to know the details. Yeah? They want to know how is it exactly. Yeah? So therefore also the Srimad Bhagavatam is satisfying also that personalities who know want to know everything in detail. Yeah, therefore, it's said that Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple, but it is complicated for the ones who are complicated. Yeah. So the ones who are complicated are the ones who know and want to know everything in detail. And there are some devotees there. They are like very much like the jnanis. They want to really know, squeeze out every tinge of knowledge. And that's also good, so that is also being satisfied. Because Prabhupada said, you see to the world, yeah, they are now the intelligentsia of the world, they're like horses which are running like wildly around like crazy horses. The people are intelligent. Yeah, because they are not satisfied, especially that happened in the revolution, evolutionary revolution after Darwin, then they really get wild because they could see that the Bible, you know, some statements are not really like okay, you know, we cannot accept that the world is only like 5,000-6,000 years old. But now we have proof by science, we have proof that the world is much older. So your books is not, they are not befitting. They're not scientifically. This is all like based on maybe on myth or emotion, but they're not scientific. So we don't have scientific proofs. So therefore, actually, they became wild, the intelligence of the world. And they were like mad horses, and now they're running like towards a cliff because there's nothing which controls them.
And they actually, they're the ones who are destroying the world. Prabhupada said, these scientists, they're the great danger to the world. And because they are not controlled. But what can control them is this knowledge from the Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, because this is very scientific. And people who are intelligent, who are really intelligent, they can understand, yeah, this is what we're looking for, this kind of knowledge. Yeah, which explained in detail how things are working. In the Bible it said that God creates the world in 6 days. You know, and the seventh day he is resting. So, but they don't know how long is 1 day of God. They think in measures of 24 hours. But if you can calculate the day of Lord Brahma, you know, 1 day of Lord Brahma, it's 1,000 times a cyclus of 4 yugas. It's 4,320,000,000 years. And then double to also describe his night. And so you can calculate 6 days of Lord Brahma. So it's quite a while. So in that sense, we see that that Shiva Bhavatan can satisfy the desire of the people. Because people by nature are very curious, you know, they want to know. And before, they were quite satisfied, but more and more, people want to know more and more, and they want to know everything. So, and the Bible, the Quran, and the Torah, they are not sufficient anymore for the world to move on. And so therefore, there's a need of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And there's a need of scientific knowledge of how things are working. So they slowly start to understand also that the world has not come, you know, by a big bang. Yeah? That everything comes automatically. Slowly, slowly, it sinks down to them that there's too much order, there's too much complication, that this cannot be by chance. It's become even ridiculous to think like that. But still, some scientists are hardcore, you know, evolutionists, and they go against all odds. But people are like honest and intelligent; they can understand. I see Radha Gopinath, Lita Vasakadevski, Jagannath Baladev, Subhadraki, Sisi Gonitai Ki Jai. So there's a description here of that how from Krishna comes Balaram, from Balaram come Sangashan, then it comes a second Sangashan, then come Mahavishnu, then come Karbhadaksaya Vishnu, then come Kshiradaksaya Vishnu, and from Karbhadaksaya Vishnu Lord Brahma is born. So this is scientific. That one thing is based on the other. Yeah? And when we accept the authority of Lord Brahma, who's in the line of that creation, then we can hear what is the summum bonum, the highest truth, the absolute truth. Yeah? And Lord Brahma, in his treatise of Brahma Samhita, he gave a whole description of the absolute truth. And he is the most intelligent person. He said that he is the... He is the reservoir of intelligence predominated by the passionate mode of the material nature. So he's very intelligent, therefore he has many heads. Yeah? Our Brahma has 4 heads. But there are Brahmas with many, many more heads in the bigger universes. So in this person he says, Govindam Adipurusham, Tamaham Bhajami, that Ishvara Parama Krishna, that Krishna is the supreme. And everything is depending on him, is resting on him. And also Krishna, he mentioned that in the Bhagavad Gita, that there's no truth superior than me. Everything is resting on me as pearls resting on the thread. Atak parantaranyanyat kinstit asti dananyaya. So then Lord Brahma, he don't give a description of a big bang. The Vedas don't give a description of a big bang. They give a description that when you're going to think like this, then on the end there's a big bang.
Like Krishna says, yeah, that these demons, they are thinking about how to destroy the world, making bigger and bigger bombs, more powerful, so that they can destroy a lot at once. But they cannot create, they can only destroy. So the theory of Big Bang is coming from their imperfect calculation that the universe is expanding. So it's expanding. So where it started. So it has to start somewhere. So then they conclude that it has started with zero point nothing. And from this zero point nothing, there was an explosion. And there everything was created. Yeah, because everything is expanding, so it has to come from somewhere. But they cannot figure out from where. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Vidya Pratapita, that I am the seed-giving father from whom everything is emanating. So we see that Krishna is continuing in the same way in the beginning as he does, on the end. That everything is born from seeds. So if you have like a sequoia, a tree, it comes, big tree comes from a little seed. Or even a forest, a banyan forest, also comes from one seed. A whole forest will manifest. And I wrote a little piece about that, and I explained that if you take a rose, rose flower, so if it is in the bud, and you film, and you let it develop, let it blossom. So if you have filmed this, but then if you put this on the screen and you put the film on a high speed, what you get is like, also like an explosion. You see also like, it goes out. So you can also say, but that is the development of the bud in the gradual process it develops. But ultimately also the rose comes out of the seed. So the universes, in the same way, they come in seed form out of the body of Mahavishnu. In seed form. And then they expand. Like anything in this world. We come also from seeds. The seed of a man is not even be seen by the naked eye. So small. But now we see all these big bodies. Somebody a little bigger than the other. But if you see the semen of a whale, the seed of from whatever, it all starts very small, and then develop into big. So there's a continuation. And therefore, when people read like this, some people they see the picture of this Mahavishnu, lying there in the ocean in the Mahatattva with all this universe coming out of his body, and they think this is mythology. This is fairy tale. How can we accept this? But in one sense, if people are intelligent, no, this is logic. Everything is developing from seed, from small. So why not? Everything is wonderful in this world, so why this cannot happen? So in this way, we can, for the most intelligent persons, we can, say, present Srimad Bhagavatam. And so they'll be happy, the intelligent persons, to read this kind of things and they can discuss this and they can go over it. And there's a lot of literature in the Vedas, to satisfy this intelligence of these persons. But for the ones who are simple, it's also okay. We have Bhagavad Gita, So Prabhupada said, even if you know one book by heart, and you can quote from Bhagavad Gita, people think you're already very intelligent. Just from one book. You don't have to know so much. And there's Bhagavad Gita, everything is in there. And you quote a few verses, you put some Sanskrit, and people are already, wow, he is a very learned person. So because in the mature world, is created for the purpose of purification of the soul, purification of his desire to act independently. Prabhupada gave in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, I think it's verse 34, He gave a very short and nice explanation about why we are fallen in this mature world and how to get out. Just like in a very short sentence, he just put the whole absolute truth. So there we can see that Prabhupada said, the truth is very simple for the simple. It can be said in a few lines. And actually, the one statement that actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one. He is one. But in order to increase his enjoyment, he must manifest himself into many. Because he is one, but in order to increase his ananda, he manifests himself into many. And that many that are we. This is from the Vedas. So this is just this one sentence that gives where we come from, what is our source, and also what is the reason of our existence. Just in one sentence, there's the reason. People are looking so much for what is the goal of life, what is the goal of life. They're looking for their whole life of lifetimes for this. And just in one sentence, it's there. And we are meant to increase Krishna's ananda. And by this, we experience also Krishna's ananda. And that is what the soul is hankering for. Anandamaya Vyasat. The soul is always hankering for happiness, for pleasure. And this is because Krishna is hankering for pleasure. Krishna is he's hankering for ananda. So because he has the desire, so that desire is also within us. But he knows the best how we can enjoy. He's the topmost enjoyer. If you want to enjoy, you have to learn from Krishna. He is the supreme enjoyer. But of course, for we shall know after the scientific basis. We shall not all immediately jump to the Rasika books, to the books where Krishna has his Rasa Lila with Radharani and the gopis. We are jumping like monkeys. No, we should go from one chapter of the Bhagavad Gita to the other. And even then, we go slightly over it. We should not indulge in it. Because we should first become purified of our desire for independent enjoying, independent from Krishna. So that's what we have to learn. Therefore, Krishna created the world. Krishna created the world for souls who didn't understand or didn't want to understand actually the purpose of their existence. Or they're doubting the purpose of existence. So they can, live out here their doubts, their desires, and see that it is foolishness, that the best thing to do is to surrender to Krishna and to enjoy in the way that he wants to enjoy. He has his game, he has his rasa, his lila, and he is the game maker. So, and he knows that if we follow his game, we will be the most happy. So therefore actually he's pushing us to come also, join the game, join the rasa, and be happy. But we are, of course, Prabhupada said we are quite stubborn and full of doubts, and so it takes some time to come to that level of surrender to Krishna. But that is where all this information is bringing us to. Man mana bhavan mat pakto madhyaye mam namaskuru. That we have to come to the point that we can offer our obeisances to Krishna, falling flat in front of the altar, offering some prayers, and think about Krishna. You see, and that's simple. That's all we have to do. We have to surrender to Krishna. Bhaktaram yakya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram. If we just recognize that he is a supreme enjoyer and we are secondary enjoyers, so we should surrender to his way of enjoying and we should see him as the proprietor and owner and controller, then he said, then you will become happy. Even in this world, you can be happy. Just by doing this, just by accepting this, offering some prayers, offering some pranams, pranandabhats, and then actually, he said, you will get peace. Yeah, how? He said, Ananta chintyantamam jayjana payopasate. That I will take care of everything. If you think about my, you worship me in my form, think of me, worship me, then I give you everything what you need. And I will protect everything what you have. So that is what he wants, that we surrender to him, and then he will take care as a very good father. He will take care of everything, and he also protects what we have. So sometimes we see that persons in this material world become very wealthy, and they get big position, big control about things, but we see it will not last. And there are things like Julius Caesar, he was a very powerful person, controlling a big part of the world, but he was stabbed by knives by his own people. So many examples are there. The one who made this big Taj Mahal, Sahan, I think, he built this Taj Mahal for his wife, because he was so much liking his wife. And when she died in the early age, so he felt so much morose. So in order to glorify her, he built this Taj Mahal. And so he spent all the money of the government. So then his son, Aurangzeb, a heavy guy, he was not so happy with it. So he put his father in jail, he killed his brothers, and he took control. So in like this, time after time we can see that people... And Prabhupada said, only when you surrender to Krishna, then Krishna will protect you. If you get position, he will protect your position. If you get wealth, he will protect your wealth. So without Krishna, actually, there's no guarantee of your position. So if you want to have like a stable position in the material world, even wherever, then if you accept Krishna, then Prabhupada said also in one lecture, the king Prataparudra, he was the king of Orissa. So, and the Muslims could not enter Orissa. He was so powerful. He said, why? Because he was worshipping Lord Jagannath. Because he was a devotee of Lord Jagannath. And once a year, he took the broom and he swept the floor for the Lord. So just by showing this, by putting himself under the Lord, so the Lord actually... He established his position, and nobody, no enemy could enter his kingdom. He was so powerful. And it's very simple. But of course, all these big books, all this information that's there for this one principle, Sarva Dharma Parityaja Mamikam Saranam Vrajya. That leave all other worries, all other duties, and just surrender to me. So this is what we have to learn in this lifetime. In these lifetimes, and all of us, this for every individual, and there's so many individuals in this material world, so many souls who have to learn this principle. It said in one body there's 60 trillion to 100 trillion cells, I think. So if you understand that every cell is a living entity, so there's a lot of preaching to do. So there's probably there's no unemployment in Krishna consciousness. Somebody who is thinking that I have nothing to do, he is completely in ignorance. So there's eternal life in Krishna consciousness, eternal occupation. And nobody has to take worry that he will be without work. Even Prabhupada, even till his deathbed, he was still preaching. So that is our only duty as devotees, to try to become Krishna conscious ourselves and to give it to others. And to the level the persons are in. Some persons, they need to have this social contact that inspire them to surrender to Krishna. Other persons, they need some music that inspire them to surrender to Krishna. And some persons, they need like this scientific knowledge, this philosophy, This is also very wonderful, because then you really understand actually more and more how great is a God. It is so everybody needs another way to be satisfied. So therefore we need all the devotees. Yeah? The devotees who are simple, the devotees who are very intelligent, and the devotees who are very musical or creative, but with their qualities, they should try to inspire other spirit souls to take interest in Krishna consciousness. So we are very fortunate to be engaged in that way, because then we cannot be engaged in Maya. So we are, our time is full of Krishna consciousness, filled with Krishna consciousness, and then there's no time for Maya. And Maya cannot enter. And then when we are engaged in Krishna consciousness, we'll be happy. And that's what we want, ultimately. Sometimes I said it in the street or so, that I know exactly what is your most intimate desire. You know, you can stop any person on the street and you can say this, I know your most deepest desire. Some may be going to blush, you know. How he knows. But that is in the scriptures, Anandamaya Vyasat. Your desire for Ananda. That is your most deep. But you maybe have different ideas of how to reach this Ananda. But that is your desire, Ananda. And Krishna consciousness can give that. Okay, I'll leave it by here. So I'm also on my way, like everybody else, to try to realize the nature of my being in this world, and also try to get out by time. Okay, maybe there are some questions or some commentaries. Yes. Actually, it's a proof that that Lord Chaitanya, as well as all his devotees, they were also great jnanis. Isn't it? So they get so much ecstasy by hearing this knowledge. So they were, actually, Lord Chaitanya was a very great pandit, you know. What is his name? Nimai Pandit. He was a very great scholar, Lord Chaitanya. And also his devotees. And Prabhupada also said, actually, that the devotees, they're all actually, intelligent persons. Because an intelligent person takes to Krishna consciousness. And intelligence begins by differentiate between matter and spirit. So, but the more persons get become inspired in Krishna consciousness, so then even the street sweeper in Vrindavan or wherever, they understand the process of reincarnation. You know, they are very intelligent people. So they're not like, but sometimes, you know, if you have simple people, they hear all this detailed information about creation, they skip these pages too much. Or they get this names, how you call this? This genealogical information. They said, okay, here it stops. They go further. They don't know to read all the names. So I myself also, I came to that pages. And then, actually, I forced myself to go through it, you know, to read all these names and for purification. And also to test my patience also.
Because I had also the desire to skip all this information. Yeah, because he also, in one sense, he was very intelligent. Eh? He understood that is how wonderful it is that out of a little seed, such a big tree can come. So he was also quite intelligent, and he could make the association. You know? So he was not like a stupid person, although simple, but not stupid. Like the story about Lord Chaitanya, when he saw this person reading Bhagavad Gita, but he could not read, you know. But Lord Chaitanya, he was very alert. He saw the tears coming from his eyes sometimes. And the people were laughing at him, and they know he cannot read. So he's all day there sitting, reading Bhagavad Gita, but he cannot read. He's a foolish man, you know. But then Lord Chaitanya heard his explanation. He said, "You are a very intelligent person. Actually, you are actually the real knower of Bhagavad Gita, because you have understood the essence." So, yeah, but simplicity also not mean like they are not intelligent, huh? But what you said, actually, they relate things with Krishna, and then this book was very ecstatic. That's a good point, actually, that even if we go to this reading, we keep track, actually, that this is Krishna who is creating all this. Then it becomes wonderful. If you are cutting the vegetables in the kitchen, and you realize that Krishna has made these vegetables, so how wonderful, you know, if you see a cauliflower or aubergine, you cut it and you see inside and the colors, and you think, wow, Krishna is very wonderful, how he created all this. And even cutting vegetables can become great ecstasy. Or whopping the floor in Radhadis, yes. Yeah, so actually, but this is actually for everybody, you know. Everybody should try to get some taste of these explanations, how things have developed and how things are working. Yeah, but more one person will be more attracted to this than another person, so it's not a bad thing. But perhaps it's good to try to know as much as possible so that you can inspire. But the main point is to get inspired yourself and surrender to Krishna, and to inspire others in surrender to Krishna. So we can like go into, this was my realization. I never went too much into this rasa books myself, because I was thinking, I can have all this knowledge, and I know all the details of how this gopi knows her this name, and she does that, and he. But I was thinking, but what has that to do with my preaching? Now, how can I inspire other people with this knowledge? I don't need this for the people. So it may be nice for me
and to get involved. But it's not that it helps others, and we are a preaching mission. We are not Bhajanandis, we are Gosyanandis. It means we go out to preach. Yes. So then we take what is necessary. And all this knowledge is inspiring maybe, but we should not think that we have to fix our mind on that. We should fix our mind on how we can inspire others. Yeah. And then we should first learn Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. And maybe later, Prabhupada said, you know, first deserve, then desire. Maybe later when you like have no physical power anymore to go out and confront conditioned souls, you know, and then you can sit in bhajan and you can go into these Rasika books, you know, and enjoy that. But Prabhupada said, first deserve and then desire. So we try to be, you know, take what we need for our preaching. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Antaraj ki jai, Nitai Nitai Gaur Premanandi Haribo. You're welcome, Hare Krishna.